This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
And now, after years of planning, sweating, and going broke, here is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
I'll alert the media.
Why they would give this man a podcast is anyone's guess.
Then there is what could only be a bizarre coincidence or something else.
Welcome to the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Trapped, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Country music and fine moonshine.
You look like the vermin-ridden son of a bitch you are.
A podcast for everyone in the good old USA and all around the world.
Over there. Send the word over there.
Quality booze and country music at its best.
So you're saying, can you set my country music award on fire?
The music, nice and loud.
What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly.
You can email the show at bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com. That's bootsandwhiskeypodcast@gmail.com.
Here's to swimming with bow-legged women.
All social media can be found at Boots and Whiskey Podcast. The show is great, even if you're sober. Well,
my advice to you, start drinking heavily.
Jim loves his music and his whiskey.
A real woman could stop you from drinking.
You have to be a real big woman.
This is the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle. Great music, great booze, and fun, even for you non-drinkers.
Y'all want to drink whiskey? I'd like a Coca-Cola in a clean glass.
Finally, a podcast that lets it all hang out.
Let's level with America.
Got your boots? Ready for some whiskey?
These boots are made for walking.
One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
And now, the Boots and Whiskey Podcast with Jim Belisle.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. This is our final episode for the month of February, and as you know from the title, you know who's here, it's Connor Smith. We couldn't be any more happy or appreciative of Connor and his time and his team and everybody that has made this episode possible, so thank you all so much. What a way to end off the first month of season two of the Boots and Whiskey Podcast. Isn't this been absolutely crazy? We started off the month with Creed Fisher. We're going to end the month with Connor Smith. No pressure on me for who's coming up, like, at all, right? Wow, what a month. Some great guests in between there, Michael J. Hughes and Court Carpenter. Guys, thank you so much. But today, Connor Smith, I'm almost at a loss for words, right? And for those of you that have listened to a lot of these shows, you know that I like to talk, but this one I'm blown away. A lot of help went into this, so I can't thank the folks over at Big Machine and Valerie Music for helping get this going. I honestly can't thank you guys enough. I look forward to working with you guys more in the future. So with that, just a little disclaimer, I do swear a little bit in this episode, a little more than I probably ever have. A lot of it was based on a pure excitement. You'll hear why in the episode. So I'm sorry for that. It's, you know, if you're listening at work, just know that there may be an F-bomb in here. That we kind of like laugh about and talk about a little bit. But honestly, it's because I hate the Roll Tide so much. Just full transparency, but that's what this show is always has been and always will be, is just a fun conversation between two people about whatever the hell's going on. So, you know, I thought about editing it out, but I also, I don't know, didn't think that would be authentically Boots and Whiskey Podcast. So I kept it in, and I'm not upset about it. I'm really not. I think it plays to the authenticity of what these episodes are and what I want them to be. It just so happened that we had a good laugh about it, and that's really, at the end of the day, what the conversations are all about. So, without further ado, honestly, the next hour is going to be a lot of fun, because I had a great time with Connor. So, for everybody, like I mentioned previously, for making this happen, thank you again so, so much. Without further ado, my conversation with the very talented and soon-to-be country music superstar. I'm telling you right now, he's going to be. Like, this kid is going to freaking blow up. It's going to be nuts what he brings to country music in the next year or so. And I'm really giving him that short of a window because he's already catapulted so quickly that, you know, he's going to be up there with the Luke Combs and the Thomas Rhett's and the Jason Aldean's and, you know, all of these big, big names that, you know, you think country music, you think these names, you're going to think country music, you're going to think Connor Smith. So without further ado, you know how much I love saying that. Here it is, my conversation with the very sweet, very nice, very humbled Connor Smith. We want to give a big shout out to our friends over at Off the Rails here in Worcester, Massachusetts at 90 Commercial Street, Worcester. They have the best food, the best music around. You will not go wrong. Go to their website, offtherailsworcester.com. You can see their lineup of shows. You can see their menu. You can see the local talent they have. Absolute fantastic people. We love being a part of the Off the Rails family, and we love having them being part of our family. Thank you so much to Off the Rails. Enjoy the rest of the episode. Hey everyone, don't forget about our other partner, the DCU Center, dcucenter.com. Go there for all of their things that are coming. They have concerts, they have hockey, they have indoor football, they have everything you would want for entertainment right here in central Massachusetts. Whether you're local or not, come and check them out. DCU Center, 50 Foster Street in Worcester. Check them out. You won't be disappointed.
Hey.
Connor Smith.
How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Man, I really cannot complain.
Awesome. Oh, well, hell, man. You're really on top of the world.
Well, you know, with that comes a lot of busyness, hard work, and tiredness, but I'm very fortunate.
Yeah, well, very, you know, we're very fortunate to have you here. I can't tell you, like, really what this means to me. Like, this is kind of like, you know, for me, a total shock and, you know, a real honor. So I appreciate you being here,
man. Thanks for saying that means a lot, and I appreciate you having me on and taking the time to do it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Like I told you this afternoon, you know, this is about you. You know, this isn't gonna be your typical, like, well, tell me about your childhood, because, you know, that's you know, I'm sure, you know, so I want you to just tell me about you. How did you get started doing this, you know, for the people that don't know? And I'll jump in with the questions as they come up.
Cool. Perfect. So start there.
Yeah, man. Go ahead.
Amazing. So, man, I grew up in Nashville, and my story is really one. I learned that being a songwriter was a job and could pay your bills when I was 6 years old. And from the time I learned about it, that's just what I wanted to do. Kind of growing up, I was always just the kid that played baseball and wrote songs, and it just kind of never wavered. So, I signed my first publishing deal when I was 16. I was fortunate enough to kind of be around a lot of amazing songwriters growing up, and a lot of people that encouraged me and were really influential for me. I signed my first publishing deal when I was 16. And then right out of high school in 2019, I ended up signing a record deal with Big Machine and Valerie Music. And then a couple years later, finally got to put out my own songs. And I guess 7 months after that, here we are.
Yeah, like, you know, really, you've been on a roller coaster, all right.
Yeah, man, it's happened quick. I mean, it's one of those. There's this analogy of bamboo that they say, like, bamboo grows in the ground for 5 years, and then the moment it, like, kind of comes up above ground, it, like, shoots up in 2 weeks. And it's kind of what it's felt like for me, man. It's like there's been so much work behind the scenes. I mean, for 4 years, I signed a publishing deal and got a manager and really started working with my team. And we just took the time to develop it and really just like, you know, I've had to finish out high school and really just kind of grow up a little bit and get better as a writer, as an artist, as a singer. And so I really felt like we were super prepared for the time that, that we finally got to put songs out. So, man, we've been super fortunate with the reaction that people have had, that they've really kind of made these songs their own. And, of course, with a little luck in there, we feel good about where we're at.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know, I've been backpedaling a bit about you and, you know, kind of, you know, catching up and, you know, you've been you've been doing this for so long that at this point, I mean, yeah, you're in the really the early stages of your career, but you know, do you feel like you've been doing this forever?
I always say, you know, they say Nashville's a 10-year town, and I started when I was 6 and got my first publishing deal when I was 16. So it kind of lines up. And I really feel like I was like the advantage that I have and that I got from growing up in Nashville and being around it, and being around just like the city of Nashville and the creativity and songwriters. You know, when you grow up here, your neighbors are songwriters and your baseball coach is a songwriter, and it's just around you.
Yeah.
And so having that, I think so many people's stories is one where, you know, they didn't know that being a songwriter was a job until they moved to Nashville or until they were, you know, 18. And so being able to start so young and that always be a reasonable dream to have, man, gave me such a head start. And so by the time that I was able to really get running, I understood the business more than most people and facets of it. So that really just gave me an advantage that I don't take for granted.
Yeah, that's great. You know, you've been writing songs so long now. How many of those songs from your, you know, the few that you started off with, how many of those songs are still around or, you know, still around, but in a different capacity?
Yeah. So it's so hard. I mean, the amount of songs that are written in this town that never get to see the light of day, like the amount of great songs that are written. Yeah. For me, I mean, I've thousands of songs on my phone. I wrote, you know, I've written 4 or 5 songs. I've written 15 songs in the last 2 months, and 4 or 5 of them, you know, I wish would be out in the world right now. And in reality, maybe one of them will make it. And, right. And so there's so many songs that you write and a lot of them die sad deaths, but, of the songs we've gotten to put out, Somewhere in a Small Town is the oldest song. I wrote that in 2018, I think.
Yeah.
And it was really kind of the first song for me, and this is pre-record deal, but this is the first song for me where it was like, okay, this song feels better. You know, this feels like a step above, you know, what I've been writing. And then I've got some other songs that I wrote in high school that are kind of in my back pocket to put out at some point. Got this song called Backseat that I wrote by myself, that I wrote my senior year of high school that really shows a lot of who I am as a songwriter that I'm excited to get out at some point. But you know, a lot of the songs from the early days, from, you know, 7, 8, 9 and, you know, 13, 14, thankfully those are nowhere to be found. Cause I was still figuring it all out. And to be honest with you, I still am, every day.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's all you're going to do, right? You are going to figure this out more and more as time goes on, you know, and from what you've already right. And from what you figured out already, like, you're just killing it. Like, you really are.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know, when I signed my publishing deal and I was started to get in rooms with these people that I've looked up to my whole life. It was crazy just to like, to watch these massive hit songwriters, you know, for people listening, just go ahead and look them up. I mean, people like Josh Osborne, Ashley Gourley, Zach Crowe, Ben Haslip, like to be in rooms with these people, there's no way you can't sit there and not become a better songwriter by the time you leave. Right. I mean, to watch these masters do what they're doing, it's like getting a free education in masters of songwriting. So I think it's funny for me to look at how much better I got over these last 4 years and was really able to hone in my craft.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, you're talking about being in the room with all these people, but, you know, being a songwriter in town for as long as you have, you know, do you still get that, like, you know, like, holy shit, where am I kind of feeling?
I mean, every day. I mean, I felt like this past, you know, year, it's like I've had like a birthday, like I've had like a something to celebrate like every week. Yeah. It's like, it's just a wild thing. And thankfully I have an amazing just like crew of people around me that are on this journey with me. And but there's so many moments where you just look around, you're like, how did we get here? I mean, what?
Yeah.
And you look at you know, we got to play the New Year's Eve, we got to open up for Thomas Rhett, played our first arena show in Minnesota. And that was one of those moments where it's like, dude, 6 months ago, I didn't have songs into the world. And now I'm playing an arena show with Thomas Rhett that was such a huge inspiration for me. And just kind of looking around and with my band, you know, where we go play a show in Oxford, Ohio, and we sold out this about 1,000 seat venue in about 10 minutes. And we're looking at each other like, what is going on? So little moments like that have been crazy and just such a blessing. And it's fun. I mean, just the start of your career, man, when we're still in the van and we're just hustling. You know, I'm on out on a radio tour where I've been, you know, in the past 2 weeks, I've been in like 7 different states, and finally, you know, get to sleep in my own bed tonight, but then, you know, drive out in the morning to go play in Mississippi. It's like in this craziness of what I'm living right now. It's really cool to see kind of all the momentum and all these little moments that we get to celebrate.
Yeah. You know, anybody that follows you on social media or, you know, follows you in general, everybody kind of knows the relationship you've started to build with Thomas Rhett. So how did that come to be? How did Thomas Rhett pick you out of a crowd and say, you know what, I'm gonna mentor this kid, more or less, and you know, with that, it's really gonna catapult you even further than you already become.
Man, I give all the credit to the Lord on that one, because that's one of those things that, you know, I could never do. And it's a wild story. I mean, if you really want to get in the weeds of it.
That's what we're here for.
Well, right. Man, it was through, we had a mutual family friend, and I think TR had been hearing about me from a lot of different sources. You know, if you really look at it, we have very similar stories. We're two kids who grew up in Nashville, was around the industry, learned that being a songwriter was a job. And, you know, though they're different, his dad, Red Akins, and my mom, you know, her side of the story is she was a TV reporter, so she would interview artists and songwriters. So that's different, but just very similar stories and kind of how we were brought up and our dreams. And so either way, he was hearing about me from all different angles, whether it be writers in Nashville, or, you know, we signed to the same record label, or, you know, see it on social media or whatever. Nashville is a small town. So, but really the connection came because he was in a Bible study, with some of my family friends, and, they happened to mention me, in some way or another. Well, the week before, I went hunting with his dad. And so he was putting those two and two together, and I think my name coming up one day. I think this is early January of 2020. I look on my phone and Instagram just says Thomas Rhett has just followed you on Instagram, and then right under it I get a notification from him that says, let's write some jams sometime. And that was a pretty big moment. I don't even think I realized how big that would be, because we ended up getting in a writing room and just became good buddies, man. I think we really connected as humans and as people. And like I said, our story is very similar. So we became buddies, and over time just got closer. And I think he saw something in me and felt called to really just kind of mentor me as a big brother. So, So, you know, most of our conversations, man, me and him are pretty close, and we get to talk a good bit. Most of our conversations are less about songs and, you know, what should put out next or what song he should record, and really more about, man, and the craziness of this industry where you're trying to run a company that's entirely centered around you. How do you not lose yourself in that and be a good human and really kind of stay true to who you want to be?
Yeah. You know, I can't, you know, that's a crazy, awesome story, you know, because you're right. You know, Nashville is such a small town in reality that, you know, you could run into anybody tomorrow and
absolutely
anything could happen.
Absolutely. I mean, a week ago, I'm sitting at where my apartment is. There's a little breakfast place right outside, and I'm sitting there outside having breakfast, and I look behind me, and Kenny Chesney sits down. So I had a little fangirl moment right there.
Yeah, I wanted to. I don't blame
you. I'm not going to lie.
So speaking of TR, as we're calling him, is that how you got lumped into, not lumped in a bad way, but is that how you got onto this tour with him and Parker coming up this summer?
Yeah, and I always like to explain. So TR, Thomas Rhett, is what most people call him because his first name is Thomas Rhett.
Yeah.
So like what you call his first name is Thomas Rhett, but if you say that, it sounds like you're name dropping. So it's always this weird. It's always this weird thing. So I just say TR.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I totally get it.
Either way, yeah, it really came from just our relationship, and I think he just, you know, he had us out this to fill in a couple dates for Gabby Barrett when she couldn't do a couple shows on this last tour, and so I think we went out there. I guess we did our job because, you know, he believed in us enough to have us come back and do this summer tour.
That's awesome.
That we're really excited for.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? You know, on your website, there's, you know, some shows listed and stuff. Is that all you have between now and that tour starts, or is there stuff that's going to come up along the way?
Yeah, there's going to be stuff kind of along the way. The tricky part is, you know, I'm still knee deep in radio tour. And so we've got, you know, we're out with Ryan Hurd right now. We're doing, you know, we're playing tomorrow with Riley Green. We've got a show with Jake Owen coming up. So we're doing those shows, but in the middle of that, we're also doing my own headlining shows in these college towns and college bars.
That's awesome.
Which have been going great. And then in the middle of all that, we're doing a ton of radio shows. And so all the radio shows that we do, you know, we haven't announced those on our website or Instagram or anything. But I think we did, you know, we were in Spokane and Portland last week playing shows. And we've got shows in Florida and wherever else next week. And so, in Vegas, I think. So, you know, we are very busy and trying to do as many shows as we can in between, because that's my favorite thing in the world.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of your music, you know, your EP is just released over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was fortunate enough, you know, somebody in your management team and I have become kind of close, and I was lucky enough to get an advanced copy.
Amazing.
Of the EP, and I didn't stop listening to it for the Thank 2 you. Days I had it before everybody else did. It's incredible.
Thank you, man. That means the world. You're to me. Welcome. Thank you for saying that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, some of these songs on here, and, you know, one of them I'm gonna dig deep into because Please. I feel it deep in my bones. And I gotta, you can give me the you know, the response you may need to give me.
Yeah, I'll give you the truth.
Do you really hate Alabama as much as I fucking do? Sorry, I don't mean to swear.
But it's funny, you know.
I can't tell you how much I hate the Roll Tide, and I'm probably pissing a lot of people off. But
I get it. Well,
like, I can't. I feel that in my bones.
Well, what I've learned from I Hate Alabama is that you are not the only one.
No.
But you know, I'm a big Tennessee Vols fan, so naturally the rivalry is there. But what I loved about that song so much was, like, kind of the juxtaposition of this, like, Alabama diss song that's a compliment to Alabama.
Like, right, exactly.
Like, I think that's the brilliance of the whole thing. Yeah. And and so, you know, putting out that song and, like, watching it do what it did, it's like, I always say that people will ask me, and I'll be like, I mean, I love Alabama now because they've changed my life. So I appreciate it. And anytime they lose, it helps me out. So it's wild.
I mean, first of all, I just realized how much of a major F-bomb I just dropped on such a big interview. So I apologize to the world for that.
You're all good. You're all good.
To my friends at Valerie and Big Machine. Sorry, guys. But You know, keep sending me people. But you know, you drop this song and the goddamn team loses again. Sorry, but this is like how
you're how passionate. Intense, I love it.
This is
I love
how
it.
Passionate about, you know, hating them. I am. Full disclosure, dude. I'm a big Notre Dame fan. So
yeah. Okay.
I think that's
where it comes came from. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, our college ball teams up here aren't very good. So, yeah. Or anymore. But yeah, like it's crazy. I mean, obviously it's a coincidence, right?
I will say, speaking of Notre Dame, I freaking love y'all's new coach. I think he's an awesome, awesome dude.
Yeah.
But anyways, back to I Hate Alabama. Man, at this point in my life, I don't believe in coincidence anymore.
No, right.
And it's really just like the Lord's timing is perfect because I'm sitting over here, dude. We have this song, and this song that I'm like, this feels like brilliance. I feel like this is like lightning in a bottle.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to do with it, like, because we're on there's such a time limit for this. And as you know, in the system of Nashville, if you want to get a song out, you better be prepared to buckle in for 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
From the time you write it to the time it comes out. And even if you've got it written and recorded, well, at best, you're getting that thing out in 3 months. And we just knew we didn't have that time with this song. So we kind of were like, here's what we need to do. We need to just like make a video for it and just put it on social media and just like let it live there. Yeah. And that was the only thing we had for it. Well, we do that. The song blows up on YouTube and Instagram and TikTok. And next thing you know, I get a call from Scott Borchetta that says this song's coming out next Friday. And that was on a Thursday. So that means in 8 days we had to mix, master, get an album cover and put it into the streaming system, which is a ridiculous timeline. Well, that not like little did we know that that timeline would literally change my life because Alabama loses the next day and it's like, and it's like every, like the world explodes for me.
Right.
It was absurd.
Yeah. Because, you know, I remember seeing it and like the song was out, like you said, in the social media world and everybody's losing their mind because you put it out and they lose all at the same time.
It oh my gosh.
Absolutely. You know, for me, fantastic.
100%. You know? That makes two of us. I mean, literally I remember watching that game and like looking at, we were playing a show in Columbus. I looked at my guitar player. I said, dude, if Alabama loses, like this could be massive.
Yeah.
And Alabama loses and my phone blows up. Like, sure. Like I'm surprised it didn't break. And just like all of these, you know, all these news sites and newspapers and TV shows just asking for interviews and wanting to do stories. And it was just like, it was just wild the way that, you know, everything kind of fell together. And it was a special night, but really a special like couple weeks of watching that song explode.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. I can only imagine, you know, how, you know, do you ever wonder, like, what if that whole chain of events doesn't happen? Like,
100%.
Are you maybe even sitting where you are right now today?
It's a different story. I mean, it really is. Like without I Hate Alabama, we're in a different conversation, and it's still a good conversation. I mean, the other songs have done great and learned from it, you know, working at radio, and we feel so confident about it, and it's awesome. But I felt like I Hate Alabama came and it set me apart, and it gave me kind of something to be known by, and I Hate Alabama just poured gasoline on every other song,
right?
So,
and you know, no, go ahead, go ahead. No, I was go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say, I mean, like, so to have a song as a new artist react that way and be so polarizing. Like I said, it's not even like offensive to Alabama because they stole my girl and they beat me in football every year. Like, who wouldn't want to be them?
Right.
It was such lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. You know, and it's like you said, you know, we've said it now a few times where the song itself, you know, forget about, you know, Alabama losing, forget about whatever, you know, the polarization of it. It's a great song.
Thank you, man. I agree. Yeah. I mean, I can talk highly about this song because I didn't write it. You know, it's the first song that I've recorded. I didn't write. But I always say, like, I know that if someone else put out this song, I'd be so jealous of it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I love.
Yeah. Now, was it hard to pick these six songs for Didn't Go Too Far?
Absolutely. That was the hardest thing. These six were, there were so many other songs we could have put in that spot. And even down to the wire, I didn't know if it was right. But to me, this first EP, I look at my career as, a long journey and not just, one release. And so we really wanted this EP to set a foundation for who I was and what I was going to be as an artist. We chose to pick songs, maybe not even our best six songs, but we chose to pick songs that showed different sides of who I was as a writer, as an artist, really kind of gave you a background, an introduction to who Connor Smith is, but also as a new artist who most of these shows are, me headlining and doing 30, 45 minute sets where my job is to, get a crowd feeling excited and hype. Some more of the fast songs and some of the slower songs that are really, songwriter driven and that I feel really kind of lead the way for me as a writer. So that was a lot of the decision making, and I think it worked out pretty good.
Well, and you think about it, right? These six songs are exactly that. They're great show starters.
Yeah.
And as you continue to grow, you're gonna be one of those names. I know it. That it's at the top of the bill. You're gonna be. You're practically almost there with the Lukes of the world and the Churches and Kenny and all that. Your name is going to be in the mix.
Thank you, man.
All of these people.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And you think about it. You think about those artists, right? Even I know you're an Eric Church guy, and Eric's first two albums are totally different from what he's putting out now.
100%.
He had to. Sometimes you got to put out those songs, right, to be able to do what you really want to do.
Absolutely, and I think it's the evolution. For me, it's like I feel like I have a really big advantage to get to start so young, because I'm 21. I didn't go to college, but I'm a college age kid who is getting to start his career. And I really want, and I think my music reflects that in a cool way that's not immature, but it shows where I'm at. And that's a song like College Town, or a song like Somewhere in a Small Town, or Take It Slow, I Hate Alabama, that just has a youth about it. And I think it's cool, because I think over the next 10, 20, 30 years of my career, the goal is, I want people to grow with me, to evolve. I think that's what Eric's done so well, is you've watched him evolve as a man into a husband, into a father. And I think it's cool to watch his music do that as well. And so I hope that as an artist, long term, I get to do the same thing.
Yeah. It's funny. I say it all the time. Like, I'm going to be 35 in 2 weeks, and if you would have told, if you would have told me 10 years ago, hey, you're going to be doing this sort of country music thing, I would have laughed in your face. I hated country music up until about 6 years ago, but again, the evolution, country music is where I am in my life,
100%.
Married, kids, working, the whole nine yards, it just fits in. So
absolutely.
I'm grateful for it. It's for worked sure. out a little bit, I guess. So
that's amazing.
We've talked about the music and what you're doing. Now I need to ask some questions that I've been dying to ask you. And I don't come in with any questions, but I think you're the first guest I've had that I've actually, put some things in my brain that I wanted to discuss. What was it like as somebody that grew up playing baseball? What was it like playing in the Little League World Series?
It was like heaven on earth.
I guess.
It was like, it is the wildest thing. They treat you like kings. You go and you live in this little village for 2 weeks, with all of these kids from around the world. You got to win three or four tournaments to really get to, Williamsport. And, you get to stay in these like dorms where there's this massive pool and this massive game room and cafeteria. And every day you just play baseball and then just go hang out with kids from Australia and Mexico and Japan, and Northeast and California. And it's a wild thing. I mean, it's literally like a 12-year-old gets thrown into being famous for 2 weeks and then after gets thrown back into middle school. it was so fun, man. And it's such a funny part of my story too. It's so random. But yeah, man, like, and then of course, I don't know if you saw it, but the video where I'm in the Little League World Series and they asked me about wanting to be a songwriter. It's so fun to watch that back and just see that little 12-year-old kid who is brave enough on Sports Center to sing a song he wrote, and to get to look, you know, get to look at that kid and think, man, you know, little did he know, less than 10 years later, he'd be living out every one of his dreams.
Yeah, that's incredible. You know, because, you know, I watch the Little League World Series because I think it's great baseball. You know?
Oh, yeah, really, it's awesome. Do.
And, you know, some of those interviews with the kids are great because it's, you know, what do you want to do? And it's like, oh, well, I want to be the shortstop for the Yankees. And it's like,
yep.
Don't we
exactly.
all, kid?
You know exactly.
But, like, you get to say it and actually do it. That's incredible.
I know. Well, and it's cool. There's so many – there's, you know, a handful of athletes, professional athletes that got to play in the Little League World Series. And I don't know about any country music singers. So right. I'm excited to take that claim. And, you know, they reached out to me about coming and playing a show for one of their things, which would be super fun to get to kind of go be full circle with them.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those of us that know and pay attention, you know, it's no secret that, you know, there's a big, you know, softball league with country music artists in Nashville.
Yep.
Are you part of that now, or do you have to be invited? Is it like a thing?
Yeah, so the Recoupables is the team you're referring to. It's got Hardy, Jameson Rogers, John Langston, Chris Lane, Jimmy Allen, Adam Doliak, all of those guys play on it. And it was really kind of a COVID thing where they were all free. I don't know if they play as much, but I got to call up for one game. Jameson Rogers asked me to fill in on one game, and I went out there and played with Hardy and all them, and we had a good time. I made a couple good throws, but I hadn't quite transitioned to the slowdown of the soft pitch.
Yeah.
I was still only a year removed from my high school baseball days, so definitely have some things to improve on before the next time we get out there.
Now, did you ever stop and think, well, maybe I'll play baseball instead of writing songs?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point, I'm sure it's a dream, but it was never baseball over songwriting. It was baseball and songwriting. I think there was definitely, you know, a long time where I thought I'd play college baseball or at least out of high school. And but by the time that, like, real life and real decisions started to get in play, you know, I was already making money as a songwriter and signed my publishing deal. And so I never even looked at college, much less, you know, college baseball. I was really just thankful that I was able to finish out my high school career because, man, I was going to school till about 11:30. I'd leave and go write songs at 12. And then I'd come back and play in a baseball game at 4. And my entire senior year, I didn't go to any practice, and I only went to games. And so just the fact that my school and coaches and all them let me do that was a really big deal.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's really cool, you know, because up here, you know, if you commit – if you're on – like for me, when I played high school baseball, if I missed practice or anything for any reason, you know, I wouldn't play in the next two games.
100%. 100%. Yeah. And you know, I'm sure there was some of that, but thankfully I was the catcher and we didn't really have a backup, so they kind of needed me. But man, I really do think it's another thing of just being in Nashville. People understood what I was doing, and I went to a private school called Brentwood Academy that supported me like crazy. And you know, I texted you that I just got home because I was over at the school watching a basketball game. It's the first time I got to go back to my high school in a long time. And I saw my baseball coach and got to talk to him, and he's coming to my show in Chattanooga next weekend and bringing his family. And so it's just cool to have that support and have those people along on the journey.
Yeah, that's incredible. That's incredible. So now this is kind of like the segue into, you know, everything. What is your plan do you have a plan going forward, or are you just still so, you know, like, like we said earlier, like, holy shit, I can't believe I'm doing this.
We always have a plan. I think we always are looking at what's next, and I'm excited for that. I mean, I'm hungrier than ever to work and to write songs and to record new songs and really keep it going. And so I think I'm always going to be bugging the label for about songs and let's get the next ones out. So I'm excited for that. The plan is still, you know, we're still trying to figure out, you know, we'll get to put out new songs and, but we're about to go in the studio. We've got probably four or five that I think need to get cut. We've got probably two or three that are in our back pocket. We've already recorded. And so it's just about the timing of everything. I think this EP has a lot of life left in it, and
Excited
to kind of ride it out. And then also some ideas of, you know, not some cover songs and doing some cool creative stuff just to kind of keep the ball rolling. I think as a new artist, I think a lot of the game nowadays is just continuing to have moments and to continuing to create, just kind of remind people of you and what you're doing. That's kind of become the game with, you know, social media these days. So always working on that. And then, of course, on the road, we're writing a ton out there with TR. We'll be writing in every weekend new songs. So excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah. I know from my, you know, own personal thoughts that I can only imagine what's going to come next for you, because this, what you've already put out is great. So
thank you,
you
man.
Know, it's, you're welcome. It's only going to keep growing. So with that, you know, with what you've been doing and what you've got, you know, when the year turned to 2022 and, you know, all these lists of, you know, who to watch for and all that come out, were you surprised by how you were pretty much the top prospect, you know, to use baseball terms, as, you know, the who's who of 22?
Yeah. I've become really good buddies with this guy that's a baseball manager or baseball agent, I should say. And he texted me and I laughed because he said, sure does look like you won Rookie of the Year. And I love the way he phrased that. But man, it's all those artists to watch list. Like every one of them is just such an honor. I mean, it's like to have a group of people sit in a boardroom or, you know, on a call or whatever and make that list and all kind of decide that I was someone worth investing in, because not only are they saying that you know, when Pandora or Spotify or Apple Music or Amazon, you know, say that I'm an artist to watch, they're also saying, hey, we're going to invest in you and in that over this year.
Right.
And that's a really, really big deal. And so just the gratitude that I felt and to see them support me, support the EP when it came out across all the streaming platforms. Man, just a really special thing. And you know, I really credit so much to, you know, you're only as good in this town. You're only as good as the team you have behind you. And I've got a very, very good one and people I really trust. So I'm thankful that, you know, there's people on all those teams that like me as a human enough to, you know, want to support me. And that's really what means the most.
Yeah. Now, did you get a heads up like the day before it was released saying, hey, this is what's happening? Or do you not know until, you know, that come out?
I was aware before they come out but they all kind of came in individually. The first one was the Pandora.
Yeah.
And Pandora comes in and they say, hey, you're one of next year's country artists to watch, but you're also one of next year's all genre artists to watch, and you're the only country artist on that. So that was the first one that came in, and I was like, holy crap, like that's a really, really big deal.
Yeah.
And then you know, I get an email that or a call from my manager that Amazon has made me an artist to watch. And then next thing I know, I'm getting a call that Spotify's. And it's like all of these little just victories that, like I said, it's felt like there's been like something to celebrate like every day.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. And then, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you're on Today.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. How does that happen? I don't know.
Right.
Like,
right. You're telling me you're wrong.
Yeah. I've got no idea. I mean, in the middle of all this, I, you know, I get a call that I'm going to get to be on the Today Show with Hoda and Kathy, and got to go do a performance. And we were supposed to be in the studio, but they kind of shut their studios down again right before we were supposed to go up. And so getting to talk to them, and Hoda and Kathy were massive supporters of me and were so, so good to me, and really, really kind and sweet. So man, I always say, if anybody asks me for advice for new artists, and you know, I'm still a brand new artist and figuring out, I really feel like in this town of Nashville, your job as a new artist is to make as many people in this town, whether it be a publisher, a writer, an artist, an agent, someone that works at radio, to build relationships with those people to where they want you to succeed, to where they know you as a human enough, and as a friend, that they would be willing to say that they want you to win. And so to see all of these people kind of support me and say, hey, we want you to win, and we want to support you and make you an artist to watch and get you on the Today Show or take you on this tour, like, just as a human, man, that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's really a testament to you. Like, you know, they're not going to just, you know, just because of your connection say, hey, this is an artist to watch. You know, you have what it takes.
Thank you, man.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. But I think I'm a dude who's just dreamed about this whole life and worked at it. And
yeah.
And so I really, really feel like there's a lot of, you know, the Lord's timing is perfect, like I said, and there's been a lot of great timing to everything, and a lot of great people placed in my life at the right time and placed around me to help me build and make all these dreams come true. And I'm just trying to walk in that and continue to put good people around me and continue to write the best songs I can and continue to put on the best show I can. And I think if I keep doing that, then I think everything will be just fine.
Yeah. So I got a few more things. I know you're super busy. I appreciate the time you're taking to chat with me, but I have a few more questions for you.
Bring them on, man. I appreciate you.
So, you know, you've been doing this thing in town now for a while. Do you have venues either in town or in other places that you've played or are looking forward to play?
Yeah. So, I mean, in Nashville, I really haven't gotten to do many Nashville shows. I mean, of course, there's the standards like the Bluebird or the Listening Room is a spot I love to get to play and just kind of tell stories as a songwriter.
Yeah.
Next Thursday, we will be doing a show at Marathon Motorworks in Nashville. That'll kind of be one of my first like real Nashville shows, opening up for Ryan Hurd. So that'll be fun. But man, we've gotten to get out on the road and like tour these college towns and play these venues, and it's been the most fun thing ever. There's the spot I always like to shout out because they've been so good to us, and it's a place that we've watched really help us grow my career and these songs is up in Oxford, Ohio, a place called Brick Street. It's at the school Miami of Ohio, and we got to go up there and play a show, and we you know, we sold a good amount of tickets. Well, show went good enough to where they asked us to come back and be the first show they had when everybody was back in school. And I think I said it before, but this show sold out in like 10 minutes. And to go up there and to hear them sing these songs back and like sing back every song we had, and to watch how just in this little college town, word was able to spread out enough to kind of make it a part of to their world was pretty dang special. So that's the show. We're playing that show, I think, April 13th, going back up to Brick Street, and I'm getting to go play that again. So me and the band can't wait.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really great. Now, speaking of being on tour, you know, we talked about a little bit, you know, the Bring the Bar to You tour with Thomas Rhett and Parker McCollum, you know, and that's going to have you on the road with those guys from pretty much from June to almost the end of the year.
Yeah.
Are you going to take a break a little while from touring after that, or are you going to just keep trucking?
At this point, I'm just trying to get through next week. And, you know, honestly, people ask me, even my friends would be like, hey, what are you doing next week? And I'm like, hey, ask my label, because I've got no idea. Right. And so, you know, I'm sure that we'll have we'll keep rolling. I think, you know, my manager managed Sam Hunt from day one and was able to kind of see that whole train. And he kind of told me, right when I started radio tour August 1st, he said, I remember when Sam did this, he was kind of just gone for about 2 years. And so I definitely see what he's saying now, but I'm sure we'll be hustling and hopefully, you know, by that time next year, we'll be able to really kind of put together a pretty cool, tour for me, you know, traveling around and playing my shows with my band. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. You know, I'm excited too, because, you know, with the connection here and getting you on and all that, you know, I think we're trying to work something out where we're actually going to come and see the opening night of the tour, because we're not really that far from Guilford, New Hampshire. So we're really looking forward to that. And I'm, you know, with that, I'm sure I'll hopefully get to meet you in person, which would be a lot of fun too.
Dude, that would be a blast. I would love that. Definitely.
Yeah. That
Are you going to get to come to CRS week next week?
I'm not.
Dang it. Brutal.
I'm not. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's tough. You know, it's tough doing some of this stuff when, you know, having a real job, I guess, during the day the kids and all that. But, you know, anytime you're up here, I will absolutely come and see you, because
100%.
You know, it's great, you know. And like I tell everybody, you know, I feel like, you know, yeah, you're an artist and you're super busy, but I also can, you know, even in the 45 minutes we've been talking now, like, I consider you a friend. Like, I know, absolutely. I feel like I know you, you know?
Absolutely. And I appreciate you saying that. I send that back to you.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I think as of right now, the plan is for us to be there. You know, who knows what happens, but I have faith in my friends over at Valerie that we'll get something working.
I do too. So you should feel confident in that.
Yeah. So last couple of questions. I know you're, again, like I said, you're super busy. I'm so, so grateful. You know, I wish you nothing absolutely. But the best of luck with everything. And like I said, I can't wait to hopefully meet you in June. But now, seeing we are the Boots and Whiskey podcast, I know you're fresh 21.
Yeah.
Just over a month now. Happy belated birthday, by
Thanks,
the way.
Sir.
I'm sure you've only had whiskey now in the last month, once or twice.
Yeah, the first time was
first time.
My 21st birthday.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah.
So
I'm standing here looking at my whiskey shelf as you speak.
I'm looking at mine too.
Perfect.
But you know, seeing you're new to it, do you have a brand of choice, or, you know, a taste of choice at this point?
I'm still figuring it out. I was gifted Four Roses on my birthday from a songwriter buddy, Daniel Ross, who wrote Learned From It with me. He gave me a bottle of Four Roses. I drank that in its entirety, so that was great. And before shows on the rider, we have Jack Daniels, just being a Tennessee boy. And we'll do Jack and Cokes before shows. That helps the voice a lot. Whiskey is beautiful for voice. And and then sitting on the shelf right now, we've got Fiddler Georgia Heartwood. So don't know too much about it, but I know it tastes good. So
nice. Now, speaking of Tennessee whiskeys, I keep seeing Nashville Barrel Company. Have you had them yet?
I have not.
No, because I see their stuff all over the place, and I've been trying to get a connection over there, and nobody bites.
It's funny. You need to try some Borchetta bourbon.
Yeah. All right.
I haven't got to try it yet, but I need to. It's funny. Last night, I know we joked about the whiskey, but I actually did try moonshine for the first time last night. It was a gift from a radio station in Knoxville, a little Old Smoky moonshine, and they gave me a can of it, and I got to try it with some of my buddies sitting on a front porch last night for the first time, and honestly wasn't too bad. I enjoyed it.
That's awesome. That's really cool. You know, we actually so TX Whiskey, they're obviously out of Texas. They had sent me a bottle, and we can't get it up here because they don't have distribution. up here, but they sent me a bottle to try. And if you ever get a chance to get your hands on that.
Well, TX.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's so good.
We'll have to get them to ship us a bottle to the show in June and have a glass together.
God, don't tempt me with a good time. Don't do it. So now, I'm going to guess, being a Nashville boy, you have a pair of boots or two.
Of course. Of course. I wear, to be honest.
What is your boot?
I'm a Tacova guy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, so I've got probably five or six pairs of boots, and I think they're all Tacovas, all of which I've bought, but I think Tacova just sent me a pair of boots recently that I'm pretty dang excited about that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm an area guy only because, honest, full disclosure, one, it's the only pair of boots I have.
Okay, fair enough.
My wife got them for me for my birthday in 2020, and my birthday was a week before the world shut down. So I had nowhere to go, and I have these beautiful pair of boots. So I was walking around the house with them on.
Yeah.
Trying to push them in, and there's
a confidence when you put on some boots. There's a different level of confidence, I promise.
Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah, you feel like a, you know, I say this, kind of tongue in cheek, but you kind of feel like a man.
You do. You feel like a man. You get a few more inches on your height, and you just call it a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Connor, honestly, I can't. I thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with us. And, I kind of tried to search, but is this your first podcast?
No, I've done a few.
I've
done a few recently. They're all pretty recent, but you're in the first handful. I could count on one hand, and you're on that one hand. So I appreciate you doing this.
Well, no, I appreciate you. I appreciate you being here and here. Chatting and being exactly who I hoped and thought you would be.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you saying that.
Absolutely. And for everybody at Big Machine and Valerie and everybody that made this happen, thank you so much. I didn't mean to swear. I was just really excited.
Hey, I love that you did. It gave it a little character.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's, if you go back and listen to it, there's a lot of character.
Hey, that's the name of the game right there.
That's right. That's right. Well, for you, this is going to be put out on Tuesday coming. So once it's out there, if you want to share it away, I'd greatly appreciate it. Amazing.
I'll definitely share it.
Awesome. Well, Connor, thank you. Good luck with your shows, and we'll see you in June.
I can't wait, man. Excited to get to meet in person. You're the man.
Absolutely. Me too. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good one. See you, brother.
You too. Bye.
Dallas Jackson here with Tipsy Music. Artists, are you tired of getting $5 to play Freebird? Are you getting fans to engage with your own music? Venmo and Linktree are just temporary solutions until now. Tipsy Music is the one-stop shop for live music to make your life easier and monetize your set list. Tipsy takes Venmo, Apple Pay, Google Pay, and even credit cards, all through your unique Tipsy QR code. Best part is no app to download, so fans can pay you quickly and get back to getting tipsy while watching you do what you do best. Sign up for free today at tipsymusic.com. That's T-I-P-S-E-E music.com at tipsymusic on all socials. Long live live music.
There's one thing I have learned through all of these episodes we have done, especially with our guests in the South, Nashville, Texas, anywhere in those parts. Here in New England, we are missing Southern fare and hospitality like you can't even imagine. But right now, fear not, we have the Porch Southern Fare and Juke Joint up in Medford, Massachusetts, just a little north of Boston. If you're in the area or coming to visit the city, go check them out. They're at 175 Rivers Edge Drive. That's in Medford, Massachusetts. Again, check out their website, theporchsouthern.com. They have live music. They have the best food in New England. I'm going to just say it right now. The best food in New England for that Southern hospitality, that Southern fare. You won't want to miss it. Our friend Jonathan Post is the chef and owner of The Porch. Great dude. Glad to be working with them. Check them out again, theporchsouthern.com. Hey guys, I just want to tell you about this new app that we have partnered with Distilli. lets you find local distilleries wherever you are. You can download the app on Apple and Android. Follow them on Instagram at the Distilly, T-H-E-D-I-S-T-I-L-Y. You won't want to miss this. This is a great app, especially if you like the distillery thing. Check it out. It definitely beats craft beer by a million. Check it out, guys. Cheers. Well, there you have it. Our conversation with Connor Smith. Really can't say more about it. Absolutely incredible guy. Loved the conversation. Can't wait to see him live. Hopefully we'll be at that show with him and Parker McCollum and Thomas Rhett coming up here in New Hampshire this summer. I can't thank Valerie Music again enough for everything they've done. Don, Athena, thank you so much for this. This is incredible. I value our friendships just as much as I value mine with Connor now, and I honestly can't thank you enough. Overall, Big Machine, you know, the label over there is just fantastic, everybody there. So, with that being said, we're going to start the month of March soon, next week, with women in history, women in country music. It's Women's History Month. So we're going to do women in country music and feature songs of the day from every day is going to be a new female artist, a new song. Every week, the conversations are going to be with female artists. So I thank all of them. Those are pretty much done and ready to go at this point. They'll just be released over the next month. So thank you, ladies, for being a part. You know who you are. You don't know who they are because I'm not telling you yet. All the distilleries will be that we feature on Whiskey Wednesday will be female owned. The ones that we're going to be doing the in-depth, we're going to be doing Three Chord. We're also going to be doing Heaven's Door. Each of those brands, we have three different flavors of, and we're gonna release one of those every week for the next really 6 weeks. So I'm very excited about that. I'm hoping that starts this week. We might have a little delay in schedule, so just bear with us. Next week is my birthday week, so you'll probably get annoyed with that, but whatever. It's my birthday, and it's my favorite time of the year. It's my favorite day of the year. And I have no bones about it. So, you know, look forward to some of that. And, you know, month of March is going to be crazy. April, we're already starting to put those episodes together. So those of you that have been interviewed or had a conversation with, if you haven't seen your conversation come up, I promise you, you'll be in April. So I thank you all for taking your time for that too. I just thought it was really important to highlight the women in country music for the month of March as part of Women's History Month. I think that's super important. So we're going to do that. Really, that's it. Until next week, guys, thank you all so much for checking in and being a part of this show. Everybody from Dirt Road Scholar Supply Company, thank you for helping with everything. Rowdy Roads, American Grit and Grace, thank you so much for everything you guys have done for me, and continue to support the show. Keep up to date. Next week we are also going to Michael Ray, March 3rd. We're going to cover that show. We're also covering PBR this coming Saturday, so watch out for all of that stuff. And it's got some good stuff coming. Get some real good stuff coming and lined up for, you know, the next few months. So until next time, guys, keep those boots on the ground and the whiskey in the glass. Cheers, everyone. Good night.